I love that movie. That's one of my favorite movies of all time. But if any of you have ever seen that movie, you know that Tevye is discontent. He's discontent with his life. He bemoans the fact that he doesn't have more, and he doesn't want, as he sings in this song, he doesn't want just enough to get by. He wants it all. He wants a lot. And so our scripture today talks a little bit about money. And so Jesus is, if you look at the beginning of chapter 12, it says, a crowd of thousands upon thousands had gathered so that they were crushing each other. And Jesus began to speak to them. And so Jesus is teaching them, he's telling them all these things, and then all of a sudden, someone from the crowd yells out, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus isn't even talking about money at this point. He's talking about all kinds of things. He's talking about the Pharisees. He's talking about how you shouldn't be fearful. He's talking about all of these different things. He's talking about people, how God values them. And yet his answer, this young man, all he is concerned about is his inheritance. And so Jesus answers him and he says, "Man, who appointed me as judge or referee between you and your brother?" And Jesus said to them, "Watch out. Guard yourself against all kinds of greed. After all, one's life isn't determined by one's possessions, even when someone is very wealthy." So I woke up this morning. I had my sermon planned. I knew where I was going with it. And then all the stuff happened in the last 24 hours with those shootings, where at last I heard 29 people died between El Paso and Dayton. And I thought, well, this is great. This really has nothing to do with my sermon. But I feel really heavy this morning. I feel really, really heavy. And so I feel like I need to talk about that. I am going to go out on a limb and just say, I don't like guns. I know there are people here that do, and I'm okay with that. I've never shot a gun. I don't ever want to shoot a gun. I imagine that if I had to protect my family and there was a gun handy, I don't know, I probably would use it. I don't know, although I wouldn't know how, but and so I feel heavy today, really heavy, because I'm not sure what's going on. I'm not sure what's going on. I'm not very happy with the division and the strife and the racism that's running rampant in our country right now. And that has nothing to do with this passage, I don't think. But that shooting in El Paso was targeted. That gunman was targeting people of color, people that he determined were illegal immigrants or Hispanic. Shooting willy-nilly into the crowds. And somehow the climate in our country is allowing that. Somehow we have taken our focus off of God. Whether it's us, our senators, our representatives, our leaders, the rhetoric in this country is terrible. And we are treating people really crappy, to the point of killing them. I am very well aware that the gun issue is a complicated issue. I am very well aware that there is a lot of mental health issues that contribute to the gun issue. But there has to be some kind of solution. We have to somehow come together and have some kind of conversation about this. This story is not just about wealth. It's about idol worship. It is about where we put our heart. Where do we put our heart? Do we put our heart into our money and making money? I don't know. Let's see what Jesus says about this. He told them a parable. He said, a certain rich man's land produced a bountiful crop. And he said to himself, what will I do? I have no place to store my harvest. Then he thought, here's what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. That's where I'll store all my grain and goods. I'll say to myself, you have stored up plenty, even enough for several years. Take it easy. Eat, drink, and enjoy yourself. But God said to him, fool, tonight you will die. Now who will get the things you have prepared for yourself? This is the way it will be for those who hoard things for themselves and aren't rich toward God. So I've made jokes before about my linen obsession and, about my daughter saying that I'm a bit of a hoarder. And really, honestly, I have three tables in my house. How many tablecloths do I need? But I think we all have that tendency to go toward obsessing about things that are not of God. It might be money. It might be our job. We may work too much. It might be our collections of things that we have. This parable is not just about wealth. It's about whatever it is that takes us away, takes our eyes off God. John Calvin said, what is idolatry if not this? To worship the gifts in place of the giver. So that's our question today, is what do we worship? What is it that we hold in high priority? Do we hold in priority our rights to own as many guns and different kinds of guns that we want? I'm not saying we should get rid of guns. I'm not. I recently read a novel that's centered in World War II. And what was interesting about that novel is about this tiny little German village, and these villagers were appalled at what was going on in Germany, but they had no way to fight back, because they had all their guns taken away. So I'm not advocating for that, but I am saying we need to have the conversation, because where we are putting our allegiance is where our treasure lies. It's about getting distracted. Pastor Paul preached on Mary and Martha a couple weeks ago, and Martha was distracted by busyness. Instead of sitting at the feet of Jesus and learning from Jesus, she was busy in the kitchen And she was overlooking and being critical of her sister. She was distracted by busyness instead of sitting at the feet of God. And we do that all the time, don't we? We get distracted. I remember when I was growing up, my mom used to play this game with us in the car, and it was like, if you had $1 million to spend, what would you spend it on? And we would go through the whole thing, and I'd say, oh, I'd buy a bicycle. And she'd say, okay, you have $999,950 left. What next? And so my sisters and I, we would go through this whole thing, and we'd think of all these things we wanted to buy with that $1 million. I wish I could say, I said, oh, I would like to help the poor. I have no idea if I said that. I have a feeling I didn't. So if you had $1 million handed to you right now, what would you do with it? Would you go out and buy more stuff? Would you find a way to support mental health? Would you build a bigger barn to store up your stuff? Or would you do something really meaningful with it? That's what the question is today. Jesus says to his disciples later on in the chapter, he says, I say to you, don't worry about your life, what you will eat or your body, what you will wear. There's more to life than food and more to the body than clothing. I imagine for people that have food and clothing, that's easier said than done. But for those that don't, that's a worry for them. He talks about the birds of the air and the flowers of the fields and how they are clothed and provided for by God. Who among you, by worrying, can add a single moment to your life? He says, instead, desire his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Don't be afraid. And then he ends that section with, where your treasure is, there your heart will be too. Where is your heart? Where is your $1 million? If you had $1 million, would you give it to the church to build a better sanctuary? Or would you use it to support a feeding program or come up with some kind of mission project? Something I read in a commentary said, is our giving driven by mission, or is mission driven by giving? Is giving driven by mission, or is mission driven by giving? In other words, do we imagine what we could do as a church that is missional and then worry about how we could pay for it? Or do we say, we have this much money, what can we do with this much money? The elders have been reading and talking about whether we want to be a rowboat church or a sailboat church. A rowboat church looks at the budget and then decides what we're going to do with it. A sailboat church looks at what we want to do and then figures out how to pay for it. Rowboat or sailboat? When I preached earlier today at the 9 o'clock service, I realized that I kind of left people and I was like, oh, Claire, you didn't preach about the hope. You didn't preach about the hope. we look at our Colossians passage, it says, therefore, if you were raised with Christ, look for the things that are above, where Christ is sitting at God's right side. Think about the things above and not things on earth. I don't think this means just go along in your own little world and not pay attention. It means thinking about what is God's kingdom supposed to look like here on earth. Take off the old human nature with its practices and put on the new nature, which is renewed by conforming to the image of the one who created it. So therefore, that is what this passage is about. It's about where is our allegiance, where is our heart, where is our focus? Is it on God? And I think even for today, as awful as the last 24 hours have been, that's also where our focus needs to be. And then we need to have conversations and be willing to have tough conversations. I don't really have a good conclusion to my sermon. Other to say, I'm sad, but I also trust in God. Please pray with me. I don't like what's going on, God. I don't. I think for the first time in my life, I am fearful. And there are probably others that feel the same. And so we come before you, God, and we give you that fear. We give you that uneasiness that we're feeling, that sadness, that anger. And we come before you trusting you that somehow in the midst of all of this craziness, there is a plan and a hope. Help us to be bold. Help us to search deep within us to know where our priorities need to be. And help us be bold in searching them out and doing something. This sermon series is action required. What action do you need from us, Lord? Equip us and embolden us to take action. We give you thanks that no matter what is going on in our life, no matter what our status or non-status, that in you we are children of God, blessed and loved. And so we give thanks for that. In Jesus' name, amen.